This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? I'm going to wait just a little bit for my old man yells at the cloud moment. I'll do that coming up later in the show. I actually forgot that we had planned to do this, so my apologies. My favorite basketball movie is White Men Can't Jump. I love the characters. I love the storylines. I love the basketball, the laughs. It's a great movie.
Fact is, I missed the shot. I walk away. I'm still a chump. But you miss, and you've been beat, well, not once, but twice by a slow, white, geeky chump.
This is what I would like to do to get us into the mood for March Madness. I want us to draft our all Billy Hoyle team. Now, these are the only rules. They had to have played in the last 25 years. So we are saying turn of the century 2000 up until now. I don't want to sit here and go back and debate Chris Mullin with you guys.
Steve Nash.
I'm not here to debate Bill Walton with you guys or Christian Laettner. Last 25 years. In celebration of White Men Can't Jump, we're going to do the all Billy Hoyle team. So we have decided the order of this thing. Steven Spector, you have the number one overall pick.
Your mother's an astronaut.
I have the number two overall pick. Rob, in the snake style draft, you have the third and the fourth overall pick. We are building a team that we feel could win the NCAA tournament. So that's the parameter. Last 25 years, you were building a starting five that you feel if you plop them into the NCAA tournament, they could win 6 straight games. They could cut down the nets. They would be the national champion. All right. I am ready to play. There cannot be any questions from you. I know how you like to ask.
I got no questions. No questions.
We are drafting the first ever all Billy Hoyle team. Rob, hit me.
God, I wish I could trade with Rob from 1 to 3, drop down like the Tennessee Titans. All right, with the first overall pick in the Billy Hoyle draft, I'm taking my guy J.J. Redick, National Player of the Year 2006, NBA career, 17 years in the league, now a coach, J.J. Redick. Number one overall pick.
You know what? I don't have any issues with J.J. Redick being the number one overall pick on the all Billy Hoyle team. With the second overall pick, I am going to go, I think he is the best player that is on this board. Now, J.J. Redick is certainly worthy of the number one overall pick. I'm taking Tyler Hansborough with the second overall pick. Maybe the most decorated college basketball player since Christian Laettner. Give me Tyler Hansborough with the number two overall pick.
You wouldn't catch me dead taking a UNC Tar Heel. And there's a bunch of them that you could take in this draft. You wouldn't catch me dead taking Tyler Hansborough. Even with the last pick of the draft.
I don't discriminate. I want a guy that's going to play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. I want a guy that's going to dive on the floor for loose balls. That's exactly what Tyler Hansborough is going to do.
Gerald Henderson elbowed him in the eye, and he was never the same.
I love being third in this draft. Ugh. Just great back-to-back value. First, I'll be taking Gordon Hayward from Butler, who was one shot away from being maybe the best player in that tournament. He was an incredible player.
You know what? Actually, no, I don't mind Gordon Hayward there. Maybe a little too high. I wouldn't take him third overall, but I don't mind. I don't mind him going third overall.
He's not on my starters list. Not even on my starters list.
And with my next pick, I'll be taking a National Player of the Year. Cooper Flagg will be coming to my team.
Hold on.
Flagg is white and played basketball in the last 25 years.
Has not played in March Madness. He has not played in a March Madness game.
I don't have a problem with Cooper Flagg coming off the board. I don't have a problem with it.
We're drafting Billy Hoyle,
March Madness legends, and the tournament starts in 2 days.
I picked the National Player of the Year, who is white.
I don't have any problem with Cooper Flagg coming off the board. I don't have a problem with it. I'm with you. I think it violates the spirit of the rules, but I don't mind it.
That's wrong. I'm just gonna go on the record. I wouldn't have taken him anyway, first overall, but that's wrong. March Madness legend, zero games played. He played 7 minutes in the ACC tournament before rolling his ankle.
And he had two points. You know who I'm going to take?
Someone from the 2027 high school class that hasn't played? Mattis Bouzelis? Is that who we're taking next?
I'm taking Jimmer Fredette here.
Oh, dang it.
I'm going Jimmer Fredette here. You got to go Jimmer. So I got shooting in a three-point world. You're going to give me one of the best shooters recently in the sport? Give me Jimmer Fredette here. I love the balance on my team.
It's a great pick. Now, if Rob can take someone...
Don't violate the rules. Come on now. This is the all Billy Hoyle team.
Does Steph Curry have any Billy Hoyle in him?
No, stop it.
Sonya?
No. He has no Billy Hoyle.
He has no Billy Hoyle
in
him? No. Are we sure about that with Steph Curry?
I'm certain.
Okay.
He's out here taking Derek Jeter, and I violate the rules.
No. You took someone who has not played a single minute in March Madness. That doesn't count. All right. I'm going to go back to the guard well, and I'm going to take Jerry McNamara,
national champion.
I like Jerry McNamara.
I know you hate him. That's why I took him.
I like Jerry McNamara
at the point. JJ at the two.
One. Jerry McNamara is a good one.
I like my backcourt so far.
That's a strong one.
All right.
Without Jerry McNamara, we would have won 10 blanking games this year. He single-handedly took a team.
He was also great in the Big East tournament, too.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Fantastic. I like the Jerry McNamara pick. I think he went a little high, but I can't be mad in this game if you take McNamara.
So it's my pick again. I gotta go with a big guy here. I think this is someone recent, but another great player. I'm going to take Drew Timmy. From Gonzaga.
I like Drew Timmy.
Played 6 years in college as opposed to Rob's zero games played in college.
I cannot believe you guys have let this player go on this far in the tournament. Adam Morrison. What are we doing here? Adam Morrison.
I think they're better small forwards and shooting guards than Adam Morrison.
Adam Morrison was a walking 22-12.
Yeah, runner up to my first overall pick, JJ Redick for National Player of the Year.
He was a walking 20-12 when college basketball mattered. Not now. I'm talking about he was doing this back in 2005-06.
Yeah, then he put down 20 nuggets and 12 fries when he got drafted by the Charlotte Bobcats.
We're not talking about what you did in the league. This is a March Madness all Billy Hoyle team. Okay. I feel great about my team. I have Tyler Hansbrough, Jimmer Fredette, and Adam Morrison. Are you guys even trying? You're not even trying.
Yeah, I mean, I have the best team so far. So
I'm not gonna lie. I'm
Rob's taking two players, only one's eligible to play.
Rob's taking Hunter Dickinson with the next pick.
He would have been a white guy who played in the last 25 years.
You use that term. I didn't use it. I said this is the all Billy Hoyle team. See, you're using different terms. I didn't use those terms.
With my first of my two back-to-back picks here, I'll be taking Frank Kaminsky.
Oh, he was on my list.
That is a good one. Frank Kaminsky's a good one.
He was my next pick. I was hoping Kaminsky would fall to the fourth. I was hoping he'd fall to the fourth.
And because Wisconsin is great at this is where Wisconsin thrives, the Billy Hoyle team. I'll also be taking Sam Decker.
Oh, my goodness.
He was really good, but he was only really good for like three games.
Sam Decker's a good back-to-back pick.
Yeah, I'll give you credit for that. He was on my list.
You're going to continue to give me shooting in a three-point world? I'm taking Doug McDermott.
I didn't even think about him. That's a really good pick.
Yeah, I'm taking Doug McDermott. You're telling me I got Jimmer Fredette and I got Doug McDermott? shooting threes for this team. Now all I need is just an athletic guy that can slash the rim a little bit. I've got
There's no such thing.
No, I got a couple. We're going to find somebody. Yeah, I love my team so far. Give me Doug McDermott.
At the three or the four, just positionless basketball.
Man, well, you know what?
Okay.
You know what? For this, I might take Dante DiVincenzo next. Who knows what direction I might go?
He may not be around.
Yeah,
I get two back-to-back picks.
Who knows what direction I might go?
Are we doing a six-man or just starting five?
However you want to do it. I'm cool to do however you want to do it.
Okay.
I just love talking about random college basketball players. It warms my heart.
All right. At the three spot, I'm taking Mike Dunleavy, another national champion.
I used to love Mike Dunleavy.
Mike Dunleavy was so good.
Can I take Slavik Randolph? Is he counting this?
Shavlik.
Yeah, I love. He was good, too.
He was such a bust at Duke, though.
Mike Dunleavy.
He was supposed to be so good.
Dunleavy was kind of underrated on that team, which is crazy to say for a guy that was a lottery pick.
It was Carlos Boozer and Jay Williams.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think for a guy.
Dunleavy was the third overall pick.
By the way, we're washed. Boozer's kid is the number two recruit in the country for next year.
and his twin brother's like fourth. They're the Boozer twins are both going to Duke.
No, they are hooping though.
Yeah. And the one
Rob's taking them in the fifth round of this draft.
They are hooping.
If I could take Darren Peterson, I'd take Darren Peterson.
I don't even know who that is. All right. All right. I think you guys will remember this name because you like the league. Nick Fizikas is my power forward from Nevada.
Nick Fizikas is a good one.
Thank you.
That's
Nick
a good
Fizikas.
One. Nick Fizikas is a good one.
I almost took Kyle Singler, but that would have been too many Duke guys.
All right. I'm a little torn here. Am I just going to go who I think best player available is? But I'm also just not really sure if this player maybe fits a modern style of basketball. But I'm also want to take a guy who's just a guaranteed bucket. I'm taking Drew Collison. Or Nick Collison, excuse me. I'm taking Nick Collison. I'm taking Nick Collison with the to round out my five.
Was he KU 01?
He was
03?
2000 through 2003.
Yeah.
Him and Gooden, 03?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had Kurt Heinrich. Yeah, Kurt Heinrich on that team. They had a couple of Billy Hoyle all-stars on that team. Yeah, I'm going with Nick Collison on this team.
You're taking a Jayhawk?
I'm shocked you're doing that.
I'm trying to win this game. Who can I take on Mizzou? You want me to take Cullen Van Leer? Who do you want me to take?
Take Caleb Grill.
I learned a lot about Caleb Grill on Thursday. He was definitely part of the Reggie Cleveland All-Stars.
All right, for my final pick,
I actually wouldn't mind somebody coming off the bench. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind getting a full list. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a sixth man here. Go ahead, Rob. Get two players. Get a starter and somebody to come off the bench.
Luke Kornet, Rob's pick.
He would technically count.
Luke Herangode. That's who he's.
I have him on my list. He was great in college.
He was a walking bucket too.
Was the epitome of the undersized four.
Yeah, he was good. I liked him.
First off, I need a pass first point guard who Jeff Goodman once called better than Andrew Wiggins. Well, I'll be taking Aaron Kraft for the point guard.
He might be barbecue chicken. That's what he might be. Aaron Kraft.
I tried to block him out of my memory.
Jeff Goodman was so annoying. Oh, he was the worst. Remember when Jeff Goodman said, oh, he was better than Andrew Wiggins?
Think about taking Keaton Page to round out my team. No. I need to take Keaton Page. All right, hold on. Let's go.
Did he even ever make the tournament?
I think they might have.
Maybe once.
I think Oklahoma State might have been a 10 seed.
He was on Marcus Smart's team.
I think he might have been a 10 seed. All right, go through your starting five, and then we'll all take one guy off the bench.
All right, Jerry McNamara at the point, J.J. Redick at the two, Mike Dunleavy at the three, Nick Fizikas at the four, Drew Timmy at the five.
Okay. For my point guard, I'm going with Jimmer Fredette. I'm going with Doug McDermott at the two. Now, the size here is where I get a little bit tough. I'm going to put Adam Morrison at the three. I'm going to have Hansborough and Nick Collison down low, 4-5. I feel great about my ability to rebound. I feel like we can protect
the rim
a little
bit. That's the question. Can you score enough?
Can we score enough? Jimmer and Doug McDermott can kill you. Nick Collison can give you 30 and 15 any night.
Okay.
Any night he can give you. All right, Rob, you have the first pick in the
six-man. First off, I have Aaron Kraft, Sam Decker, Gordon Hayward, Cooper Flagg, and Frank Kaminsky.
Now that we're in the middle of this, I wouldn't mind just drafting a full team. I just love going through these guys. Like, I forgot about him.
I'll give you all the names that I wrote down that were draft eligible in a second.
I forget about Kevin Pitsenagel. I wouldn't mind having him come off the bench and give some quality minutes for my team. Would love it.
I'm about to take Luke Hancock.
It's a good pick.
That is a good pick.
He was really good for a while.
Shooter, if he was open in the corner, he was making that shot. On a national title team at Louisville, back when Rick Pitino was unlikable, unlike now, apparently. I'll be taking Luke Hancock as my sixth man.
You know what? I'm going to take a little bit more shooting for my team.
Okay.
I'm taking Luke Ridenour from Oregon.
Good pick.
Luke Ridenour could come off the bench, and he can definitely, we're down seven. We need some instant offense. We need some buckets playing that Caleb Grill role. Luke Ridenour coming off the bench, knock down a couple of shots. I'm going to take Luke Ridenour. I don't think he's one of the best players that fit this.
Yeah, he fits the six-man role, though.
But for what I need, I like him.
So I'm a little bit small with Jerry, JJ, Mike Dunleavy, Fizikas, and Timmy. So I need a little size off the bench, kind of opposite of you. I'm going to take Cole Aldrich.
Cole!
Just for a little bit of size. If I'm getting kind of beat down low by your Nick Collison or your Cooper Flag, I'll bring in Cole Aldrich, mix and match a little bit, a little high pick and roll. Cole Aldrich, six man off the bench.
You want another backup guy?
Can I just give you the rest of my list that I wrote down?
Right here.
Okay. Others in consideration or receiving votes. Ryan Archidiakono.
He went to Villanova. Yeah,
right?
Another player I hate.
Yeah, Villanova.
John Shire. Dante.
I'm shocked you didn't take John Shire for the Billy Hoyle draft.
Yeah, but Jerry McNamara, I think, was a better college point guard.
Okay.
Dante DiVincenzo, we talked about.
Yeah, good player.
Remember Lee Humphrey from Florida 06 and 07?
I do remember him.
He was such a good shooter.
I was thinking about taking Dupay.
Teddy Dupay.
Teddy Dupay.
So there's three guys from that team. There's Teddy Dupay, Mike Miller, and remember Matt Bonner?
I do remember Matt Bonner.
He actually played in the league for
big
a little bit, too.
Kid.
Yeah, big redhead. All right, others receiving votes, Jeff Withey, Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy from the Virginia teams.
From Virginia.
TJ Sorrentine from Vermont, Ron Baker, Wichita State.
I was actually going to take Ron Baker next. He was going to be my seventh guy off the bench.
Drew Neitzel, Michigan State. Remember him? Little point guard. Tyler Kolek, Marquette. Adam Haluska, Iowa, and then Rob took Luke Herangode.
You want to know?
By the way, you didn't. No one mentioned Chet Holmgren.
No, Rob.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. See what
Rob.
I mean, Rob? Yeah, no, I'm not taking Chet Holmgren, who was
Chet Holmgren.
I forgot he played college basketball. Honestly.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, I forgot
also,
that he played.
Luke Garza was National Player of the Year at
Luca
Iowa.
Luke Garza would have been a good one, but
Andrew Bogut. I don't know. Andrew Bogut wasn't great in college, but he was National.
He's Australian
player.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, Luke Garza. Luke Garza could have been drafted.
Luca Garza definitely could have made the list, yeah, but I mean, think there's better bigs than Luca
Garza. He wasn't coming off the board for anybody I got on my team.
No,
I wasn't taking
sure.
him over Hansborough, Adam Morrison, or Nick Hollison. Kerr Heinrich didn't even get an honorable mention here. That's Rob's fault.
That is Rob's fault. I was sure you were going to take at least one Jayhawk.
The one I was going to take got taken by the person
I
never
thought
would take
one. I'm shocked you did that too.
The one thing I noticed on this, John Calipari is not looking for these kind of kids.
Nope.
Have you noticed this? Everybody else has got somebody. There's there's a little Duke. There's a little Kansas. There's a little bit of everything. Calipari won no parts of these
we
kids.
We missed a very obvious one. Just came in on the text line. Kevin Love.
I still don't think I would take him over anybody I picked on my team.
Kevin Love was really good at UCLA.
He was fantastic.
Really good. If I could redo it, I would get Nick Fizikas or Drew Timmy out Kevin Love. I messed that up.
Next season, we'll do another Billy Hoyle draft.
I'm just happy Farouk Manesh didn't get picked.
He had one shot.
That was a great shot, though.
And that's still more than his starting power forward in Cooper Flagg.
Rob's team is terrible. Rob, I'm being serious. I actually don't think Rob's team would win this year's national championship. Like, if you're telling me right now there was a team that had Gordon Hayward, Cooper Flagg, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, and Aaron Kraft, Florida's better than that team. So is Auburn. Auburn's better than that team, too.
Cooper Flagg changes the equation a bit.
Are you a believer? Cooper Flagg? You've seen a lot more Duke than
I've seen. Yeah, he's really good. I don't think he's generational. He's really good, though.
Do you think he's a better pro than Anthony Davis?
No.
What's his NBA comparison?
Bam Adebayo?
It's not bad.
Maybe with a little more scoring, yeah, a little less rebound, but Bam Adebayo?
Okay.
Kind of affects the game in multiple different ways.
All right. That is our all Billy Hoyle team on today's show. We should do this more often. I actually really enjoyed this.
This is great.
Any reason to just randomly talk about 2003 college basketball players, I'm a big fan.
I'm in.
Aaron Kraft being drafted
horrible.
Is absolutely horrific. Somebody said Nick Calathes at Florida.
Nick Calathes is so good. I love Nick Calathes.
That's a good one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by
DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Excuse me. Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Let's transition a little bit. Let's talk a little Kansas City Chiefs. Nate Taylor was on the midday show earlier today. He and I agree the Chiefs have to draft a running back in April.
They have to take a running back because of this stat. Last season, Patrick Mahomes accounted for 72.5% of the offense's yards. Oh, God. The most of any quarterback in the league. No quarterback while trying to guide his team.
Even more than like Lamar Jackson?
To an unprecedented three-peat had more of a burden to carry the offense, literally, than Patrick Mahomes without a left tackle that was serviceable. So
wow,
they need to draft a running back because you need to have as many options possible for the offense to get better. I know we'll still talk about the deep ball and how much is left in Travis Kelce's, you know, ability to be obviously a go-to guy, particularly on third down. The easiest way to make the offense raise its floor is with another running back that you can pair with Pacheco, and that maybe you can use Kareem Hunt as a veteran that you use on short yardage, red zone.
It is so refreshing to hear somebody on the same side of the argument as me. Now, I didn't have the numbers about 72.5%. That is a lot. Your usage is incredibly high, if that's the case. The Chiefs need to find a number one back. If the Chiefs' offense for this upcoming season is as follows, very talented rookie that is running back number one, a healthy Isaiah Pacheco as running back 1B slash RB2. Kareem Hunt on short yardage, third and one, fourth and one. I'm talking about Kareem Hunt gets less than 100 carries for the upcoming season, and you bring him in as the secret weapon. I'm talking about a bullpen. You're going to bring in the righty for a specialized. I love that role for Kareem Hunt. You got Elijah Mitchell as your break in case of emergency just to keep him healthy. Sure, you're throwing it to him out of the backfield, a little Samaje Perine, but we're talking about a guy who maybe touches the ball 3 to 5 times a game. Carson Steele, I don't think really factors into the offense, at least not in terms of a usage standpoint. And then you've got your wide receiver weapons. That's one you can sell me on. Last year, one of the problems in their offenses, we can say it was the offensive line, sure, they didn't have really a home run swing in the run game. They didn't have a home run swing. Nobody's saying you got to have Saquon Barkley in the run game and you got to have maybe the best running back in the National Football League. But do you have a running back that you think can get a 15, 20 yard? Those count too. Those are as effective as big-time run plays. A guy that can help you control the line of scrimmage, control the tempo of the game, and take pressure off your quarterback, you don't get hit handing it off, is something I want them to desperately go find in this draft. There have been some things that you guys have heard me pound the drum, younger, more explosive. You can still do that on this team. You can do so in the pass game. You can do so in the run game. It's one thing to nickel and dime at wide receiver. Sure, you want to bring back Hollywood Brown? Okay. You want to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster? You got a chance to get a very talented 22-year-old running back in this year's NFL draft that could turn out to be a Pro Bowler. Go find him. Because he exists. There's a handful of those guys in this year's draft class. So I will continue to say it. I'm happy that Nate is on the same side that I'm on. And from just a roster building standpoint, everybody in that running back room right now is on a one-year contract. Isaiah Pacheco is in the final year of his deal. Kareem Hunt is on a one-year deal. Elijah Mitchell is on there. It'd be great if you had short-term plans at the position and a long-term plan at the position. It would be great to go get you a running back. That is now moved to, other than pass rush, it is moved to number one on my list of the thing that I think they need to do between now and the start of the season. They have to improve the running back room. Find somebody in this draft class, a running back class that I think is incredibly deep. You are going to find some running backs in that third, fourth round, that guys that we've heard of before that were great college players that because of the surplus at the position and the devaluing of the position have fallen in this draft class that you can go get. Go get one of them.
You're actually not going to hear an argument from me, but My question would be, how much of a role is really available for a rookie running back on this team? Because they have three on the roster right now. Now, if you want to tell me they're going to surprise camp cut one of the two that they on the one-year contract, cool. We can have that conversation. If you want to tell me Elijah Mitchell's not going to be healthy because he's almost never healthy, fine with that conversation too. But on March 18th, before the NCAA tournament has tipped off, they have Isaiah Pacheco, a former 900-yard rusher when healthy in the NFL. They have Kareem Hunt, who was a good running back, solid to good running back last year with high usage, and Elijah Mitchell, who does have a little bit of pop when he's healthy and in the right system. If you were to draft Devin Neal, DJ Giddens, Ollie Gordon, pick your name of what running back you would want to draft. Outside of Ginty, I think almost every name's available. How much usage is available? Because it feels like the room is full as far as availability right now. So it feels like they're drafting for 2026 if they take a guy.
Yeah, I think you and I are just on different pages about what Elijah Mitchell and what Kareem Hunt's role should be on this upcoming team. Elijah Mitchell, at this point, doesn't really have a role to me on the team. Like, I told you, I would not have added Kareem Hunt and added Elijah Mitchell on my team. I don't really know how many carries I would give Elijah Mitchell, especially because I prioritize drafting a running back. We'll see if the Chiefs feel the same way. Brett Veach was on this station saying how much he loved the running back class. If you love this running back class, there are a bunch of different ones to fall in love with. You want to get guys who played at a high level? All right, go to Ohio State. Take either one of their running backs. You want to get Ollie Gordon, who people thought was the best running back in college football coming into the season? You can go get him. You want to go get a little local flavor? Go get Devin Neal. Go get DJ Giddens. There are 10 running backs that would make perfect sense for this team. You want to go get Cam Scataboo out of Arizona State? Grab one of them. That's all I'm saying. Grab one of those running backs and throw them into the mix, and I think you will be perfectly fine. I don't think you're looking for somebody who's going to run for 1,500 yards. Can you get somebody who can go back to getting you 12 to 1,300 yards from scrimmage? The guy runs 4,000 yards. He has 250 yards receiving out of the backfield. That is a – those guys, there's five or six of those guys in this year's NFL draft. I want to play one more cut for you guys from Nate Taylor, who was on the Midday Show earlier today. Here he is talking about Trey Smith and how much he thinks it's going to cost.
But in terms of Trey Smith, the Chiefs are the only team with a player on the franchise tag. It better not get to July. Hell, it better not get to May. You could say, look, from Trey's standpoint, you sign the franchise tag, this is where we're starting. Now, similar to the Chris Jones situation where it's like, okay, we love Aaron Donald. We're not giving you a contract that's better than Aaron Donald.
They got close, but yeah, they didn't get
real close. But that was the hiccup. That was the hiccup the entire time was just like, hey, man, we understand you're great, but like that contract is unprecedented compared to everybody else. Well, guess who has a contract that don't make sense compared to every other right guard right now? I know it's only for a year. But that 23.4, the moment he signed it, that's the number. That's where we're starting. Actually, we kind of starting at 24.
Woo. They are about to pay. If you are like Rob and I, and you are big on positional value, they are about to spend number one corner money on right guard. There's no other way to argue it. If he gets the amount of money that we all believe he is going to get, there is not a single person who their job is committed paying them $23.4 million is going to go to the company like, you know what? I'll just take 19. I want to be team friendly. No. 23.4 is the starting point for it. He is going to get at least $24 or $25 million a year. $25 million a year is the second highest paid corner in the league. The Chiefs are just an interesting case study in positional value. We value it differently. Obviously, their way has worked. But this offseason, there's no denying, they have spent a lot of money on a player who doesn't get sacks, and they have spent a lot of money on, at best, the fourth most valuable offensive line position. Left tackle, right tackle, and center are more important than right guard is, and they have paid a significant amount of money at right guard. I'm not saying that is right, wrong, just telling you that the way that they build their team is just simply different. We're arguing about running back and adding another one to the mix, and they ain't spending no money at running back. Currently, they're not really spending any money at wide receiver either. They spent a lot of money on a right guard, though. So that is the way that the Chiefs have chosen to build their roster. Really good stuff earlier today from Nate Taylor. He had a really good appearance. I would highly encourage you to check it out. I would encourage you to check it out on the podcast page over on 96.5thefan.com. I'll play one more thing for you guys before we got to step aside and take a break here. This is from Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward was on a podcast, and Cam Hayward said what we all feel about Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes it's just refreshing to hear somebody speak truth to power. Now, I understand that Aaron Rodgers is taking time to consider a job. I think most of us have been in that position. You got offered a job and you want to think, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my family? There are a lot of things to think about. To take this job, you got to move. You got to adjust your life a little bit. So I understand taking a little bit of time. Cam Hayward said what we all think about Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
So that was Cam Hayward talking about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. I actually have no clue what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. But you know what I do know is he's going to find the most Aaron Rodgers time to announce it. Aaron Rodgers is going to be just sitting there watching the NCAA tournament in a couple of days and be like, you know what? I feel like going on the Pat McAfee show and I feel like being the number one story today. You know what? I'm going to make a decision today. I mean, right when the ball is tipped and there you are, when you're running for your life, you're a shooting star. That's when Aaron Rodgers is going to shine. That's when he's going to pop up. He's going to pop up at 11:13 on Thursday, ready to talk to Pat McAfee. Well, I now want to know where you're going to go. I can't start the tournament now. I got to find out where you're going to go. Oh, Aaron's going to pick the perfect time. The perfect time.
Is Aaron Rodgers stopping the sports world anymore? I know his name still carries a lot of cachet.
I think if he joins the Steelers, that's a big deal.
If he's a Giant.
I don't care if he joins the Giants. I'm just saying I don't care if he joins the Giants, because if he joins the Giants, I just don't think the Giants are going to be relevant at all. If he joins the Steelers will be one of the more interesting teams in the league. How is that going to work with Tomlin? How is that going to work with DK Metcalf? Are you keeping George Pickens? Can you imagine a locker room that has Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and George Pickens? It is far more interesting for our job and what fuels our industry if he joins the Steelers. It's far more interesting if he joins the Minnesota Vikings. You follow the exact same path as Brett Favre. That's a team that's in your division. You can go ahead and pencil in Vikings, Packers. Both of those games are going to be double digits or national TV. So yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So yeah, I still think Aaron Rodgers moves the needle. I still think in terms of like a brand, I think Rodgers is still top five in the league. I think it's Mahomes, Kelsey, Rodgers, and then we can start having conversations about who kind of comes in after that. You know, it's actually moving up the list a lot. Jalen Hurts. I don't know if you've seen the way he's been moving the last couple of months. He's been everywhere. I saw him taking a picture with Barack, and I saw him take a picture of Michael Jordan. He's been everywhere the last little bit of time. They selling those little hoodies that say Love Hurts on them. You know how it is. When you're now the it guy the way that Jalen Hurts is, oh, he's certainly he's moving and shaking. All right, coming up on the other side, we got to take a break here. Rob's giving me the wrap it up sign. We're going to take a break here. Coming up on the other side, you know what I'm actually starting to enjoy? I'm starting to enjoy being the old guy that complains about how things used to be. I have a new one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to wrap up a conversation we were just having here, and we'll move to something else. We're talking about the Chiefs' need for a running back. I will continue to bang that drum until the draft is here. Someone texted in, CDOT, isn't Elijah Mitchell just what the Chiefs want in a third down pass catching back? Someone else texted in, if Elijah Mitchell can stay healthy, look out. I'm certainly not wishing anything bad against Elijah Mitchell. I hope he stays healthy too. I want him to have a healthy, productive season. In 2022, he played in 5 games. In 2023, he played in 11 games and had 75 attempts. He missed all of last season. Him staying healthy is just not something that I'm counting on. I don't know how you can count on it. He has been in the league since 2021. He has played in 27 games. He has missed more games than he has played in his time in the NFL. I just don't know how you can factor him being healthy. Anything you get from Elijah Mitchell this season has to be considered a bonus. I think Elijah Mitchell is very good when he's healthy. He ain't been healthy since 2022, really. That's a long time ago. So that's where I am with Elijah Mitchell. I think he has, given how the room is currently set up, I hope that he is their break in case of emergency. He is a maybe healthy scratch, healthy DMP. Maybe you need to use him late in the season. I just wouldn't go into the season really expecting anything from Elijah Mitchell. That's going to be my official stance, at least when it comes to him. We'll get back to basketball coming up in just a bit, but I am kind of starting to enjoy being the old guy that complains about the way that things used to be. And I don't mean them complaining about the way things used to be as a way of putting down today's generation. They're allowed to do things differently than us. But I am a believer that we have all this technology and we just use it in a way that I don't know if all of this technology has made things, certain experiences better. Like when you go to a restaurant, I don't want to look at my phone for the menu. I want you to hand me a menu and look through it. That's part of the going to eat experience. I want the physical menu that I can touch. I enjoy that part. Now, for those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you're going to be surprised. I've made the decision to fill out a bracket this year. I have not filled out a bracket since I was in high school. It has just not been part of my life. In fact, I have been very anti-filling out a bracket. But I've been trying to do better at doing some work camaraderie things. I was normally, I don't know if it was too cool or reluctant to sign up to do certain things. And I'm like, you know what? Let me be a better teammate. Let me be a better coworker. I'll sign up. You guys remember during the Super Bowl, I signed up for Super Bowl Squares. I still don't really know what Super Bowl Squares are, but you know what? Everybody at the station was doing it. I'll do it too. So everybody in our office fills out a bracket. I mean, our station, the news talk station, downstairs in sales, everybody fills out a bracket. I've always been too cool to do it. This time I told myself I'll do it. They're like, oh, hey, we're happy you're doing it. Hey, so we're going to email you the link. I looked at it, I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, well, we're going to email the link to everybody. Wait, hold on. You're telling me now that people don't go to the computer, find the printable version of the bracket, print off the printable version of the bracket, write down the names of the team, and then highlight the teams as they continue to win? That's not how people fill out the bracket anymore. I don't want to participate if this is just going to be an online thing. That doesn't sound like the fun way of filling out a bracket. No, I want to grab a pen. I want to print out the bracket. I want to write down Mizzou as far as I think they're going to go in the NCAA tournament. And then I want somebody to highlight it yellow or whatever color they, orange, if they lose or not. That's what I want. That's the only way I'm participating in filling out a bracket. We can't lose recipes. Writing down the bracket and filling it out is part of the fun to me. At least that's what I thought. So, Rob, if this is going to be an online-only contest, I will not be participating in it. I want to do it the old school way. I want somebody to walk around. I want to hand them my completed bracket, and I want to hand them my $5, $10, and that's how I would like to participate in the bracket challenge. I had another thing that I wanted to complain about. Let me just get all my old people takes out. I only have one more. It's almost over. Rob, I don't think we knew how well we had it when it came to concerts back in the day. I was thinking that. You know how when they announce a new show, you're like, oh, man, I really want to go see this show. Oh, well, you know, I got to sign up for the presale. Okay, cool. I'll sign up for the artist presale. Oh, I got to. Okay, all right. Yeah, cool. I'll sign up for the fan club. And then we all have had, if you go to concerts, you've had this moment. You are all ready to go. You sign up for the concert. You then go on the Ticketmaster. First, you got to go to some virtual waiting room. You're behind 1,000 people. And then you finally get there. You get that little you get, okay, all right, I can look at the ticket prices now. You look at the ticket price, you think to yourself, hey, this is what people pay to go to concerts. Rob, you have probably seen some amazing shows for $20, $30, $40. Everybody listening, if you've been going to concerts for a while, if you were going to concerts pre-COVID, you got a chance to see some of the people who turned out to be some of the biggest artists in the world. You paid $40, $50 to see them. It was like $200 if you wanted to sit like front row. If you wanted to sit real close back in the day. For Watch the Throne, I paid $110. I was fourth row. Amazing seats for these things. Now, if for most of these shows, your $110 won't even get you in the door. You can't even go sit up next to the Garth Brooks banners for $110. You can't even see for $110. It's crazy, man. Since when was going to a concert, you had to buy two $180 tickets to sit up in the uppers, then maybe you want to get a t-shirt, now you want to get a beer or two. When did it turn into $500 to go see your favorite artist? Can we get back to recipes?
If we're going to get back to recipes or concerts, can we talk about why are there fees still? Like, delivery fee, it shouldn't cost me to email me my tickets or for me to download them into my Apple wallet. I recently went to the Big 12 tournament. You were there, too. I had pretty good seats. I thought I had a pretty good deal. I bought some tickets on the UCF-KU game for Arizona-KU. I'm like, I got a nice section. It was in the 50s. I got two tickets, one for me and my wife. Should be around 110. There was another $55 in fees. Why?
Some of the fees are ridiculous. Like, how is it a fee for me to buy you? First off, I can't physically go buy the ticket. I have to buy it from you online, and now you're going to charge me to email my ticket to me? No, that's not how it should be. They do just come up with fees. You got to pay a convenience fee, an online fee, a stadium fee. Where are all these fees coming from? You are right. There are times where, especially on StubHub, they'll tell you the ticket's $35, but then by the time you're like, well, this $35 ticket is actually a $71 ticket. Why didn't you just say that from the very beginning? You got to end up playing Prices Right in order to actually guess how much the tickets are, because by the time you get through the fees, it ends up being an extra $90 on top of what they told you the tickets were going to be. I can't be the only one out there on this. 913-586-7965. Does anybody feel me out there? You know, pre-COVID, you were basically any show you wanted to go to, you could get in at a good price. That's not it anymore. That time's over in our life. It's awful. Somebody said, Carrington, get off my lawn, Harrison. Maybe. You know what? I just want things to be price efficient for me and you. That's it. Most of the time, we used to do things just right. I like filling out the bracket regular. I don't want to go on there and fill it out. I want to write it. I want to write it. And I want us to stop being gouged for tickets. I want you to be able to take your wife to the show. That's what I want you to be able to do. You used to be able to take her to the show. You could go see Justin Timberlake. Oh, it's like $80. Okay, cool. $80, two tickets. All right, cool. You go see Justin Timberlake. Now that $80 ticket is now $220 plus fees. It didn't used to be this way, kids. I'm telling you, it didn't used to be this way. That's where we're really cheating the kids. I've seen enough concerts in my life. Your 16-year-old, they ain't going to see as many concerts as we got to see. It's because they're taxing them to death. It's absolutely miserable. All right, coming up on the side, Rob, let's get back to talking a little college basketball. Keep it right here, so drive.